Wow, cool story. Rush. The time is 6 o'clock. Thank you very much to Rush for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. You were listening to KOOP, Hornsby Austin. Mascot Wedding Show is coming up right after. Mac?
Who Made Who? With the plot, title track, author, album. More Mascot Wedding Show in a bit. Whoop.
All right, okay, don't panic, David. The time is 6:04 in the PM. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 90.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at koop.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hatta.
And my name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, please do. The phone number is area code 512-472-5667. Toll free, 1-888-917-5667. Hey, anything said on this show is just the opinion of the person that said it. Nobody else's. Oh, plus a new feature on today's show. Instead of emailing us, you can just send us a tweet.
Yes, I like this.
We are at Mascot Wedding is the name of our show on Twitter. And I got the page open. If you tweet something at us, we will read it on the air. As long as it doesn't contain barnacle talk.
Yeah, come on, people. Clean it up for something's sake. I don't know.
Hey, we got an exciting show calling in pretty soon. The guys from the Found Footage Festival. I don't know. I know Nick is going to call in. I don't know if both Nick and Joe are calling in, but somebody is, and that'll be later, pretty soon, actually, in the show. So that's kind of exciting. And that's a show that's going to be at the Alamo Draft House. They're on a tour.
That's right.
It'll be there two shows this Wednesday.
Chrisin' and crossing the country, showing you stuff you haven't seen, or maybe you have. I don't know. We'll ask them. Mac, what did we just hear?
We just heard from the country of Denmark.
Oh.
Who Made Who? Oh, we already got a phone call here.
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. KOOP, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Joe Parsons.
Oh, hey, Joe Parsons.
How are you?
Pretty good. You're like you're a local celeb.
Well, I was on Cops.
That's right. You effed that guy up pretty good. And by F, I mean friended him. So what can we do for you, Joe?
I have a one burning question that's on my brain.
Ooh.
Ask away.
Your fever brain.
All right. How was Sucker Punch?
We didn't actually see it.
No.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, we wanted to take a bullet and go see Sucker Punch, but it was a midnight show, and some of us had to work early the next day at International Tomato. And so we ended up renting this movie, which I can't stop thinking about.
Yes.
To be honest with you.
It is burned into my brain.
This is a horror movie we thought was going to be kind of stupid and like laugh at, like, ha ha ha. But instead it laughed at us.
Yes.
You looked into the abyss, Joe. It's called Triangle. Have you heard of it?
Triangle?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I've never heard of it.
It's got Melissa George in it. She's a pretty lady.
I don't know who Melissa George is.
You do. Shut up.
I do shut up.
She was in Alias. You know that.
Why? Well, tell you what. You want to go see Sucker Punch tonight, Joe?
I have shows tonight.
You have shows? What do you mean shows?
I'm in Master Pancake shows.
Master Pancake Theater?
That's right.
Wait, is that Austin's favorite comedy troupe 3 years running?
That's correct.
Well,
that's where we at the Alamo Draft House will show a movie and we'll crack jokes in the front row.
Good heavens, are tickets still available?
Not for tonight.
Oh, then
however,
what are we doing? Yes.
We do have a Choose Your Own Pancake Night coming up on Monday where you, the audience, get to bring in a DVD, and we will improvise a mock right there on the spot.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes.
Or not. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I just, if people were so inclined, they could go to originalalamo.com.
All right.
Yeah, they
could. Pros pro of public radio. Thank you very much for tiptoeing around that.
Well, Joe, you have some good shows tonight.
Thank you, I will, and I would love to hear more about the triangle when you get the chance, but in the meantime, I'll let you get on with it.
Yes, and we will figure out a Sucker Punch viewing very soon.
Yeah, because that movie looks kind of awful. Did I say kind of?
It really does.
That movie looks really awful. Yeah.
But it looks visually, it's like the visual equivalent of sour gummy worms.
What? Now I want to go see these worms. I mean, movie.
To steal a joke from another person, looks 9, personality 3 is what I'm going to say about Sucker Punch, I think.
By the
way, right. It's not good for you, but you don't know why you keep eating them, but you do.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Well, because they're delicious. Well,
Joe, our call screener is telling us we got to keep the lines open now.
Oh, very well.
All right, but thanks for calling in, Joe Parsons. Joe Parsons.
Joe Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you later.
Have a good show.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. By the way, we just got tweeted at from Bleo, and she asks, is Natembe Natondo there today? I think she might mean Rikembe Mutombo.
Yes, we have talked about this many, many times, Bleo. You're getting it wrong every single time. But yeah, we've efforted him. We'll still...
it'd be interesting to see what that guy's up to. Maybe I can place a call.
Yeah.
With his... Well,
see if his cruise is in dry dock.
Yeah, you know what? Let me do some research before that we have that guy back on the show.
Yeah,
he's a real
bit of a barnacle mouth,
giant creepazoid.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad somebody said it.
I don't even know if he's allowed in the country. I don't. There's been some stuff.
Well, he's not allowed to run for president. That's what you're trying to say, Mac.
But no, he's not here today. Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yes,
he's born in we're in Hawaii.
Yeah, show the certificate.
Yeah,
Rikembe. So how are you, Mac?
I'm doing pretty good. On the way over here, I saw something amazing.
Do tell.
It was a truck, and I believe that it was a...
Well, those are everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. But it was... Sorry, I think it was actually a van. It was a van that belonged to Mr. Paint or the Paint Guy or something like that. I'm going to give this guy a free... I think it was the Paint Guy.
Okay.
That's what it said. It was like a, you know, it was a truck for a business.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And so I think there's a better word for that, but it's escaping me at the moment. And so the van belonged to... I think it was the Paint Guy.
Uh-huh.
And why I'm going to give this guy a free plug is because his logo, the logo for the Paint Guy, it was the Spurs U.
Okay.
From the San Antonio Spurs logo. It's like a U that looks like a spur.
Right.
And then coming out of the tops of the U are orange Longhorn horns.
Wow.
I know. Has absolutely nothing to do with paint, yeah, except that it's painted, I guess.
Did he buy that van from the Pander guy who wanted to cover his Central Texas region area?
I was like, why are you not just driving around my house? I could probably find some odd jobs for you.
Yeah, perhaps he could spell something in Wings and Comic Books.
Oh.
Really corner of the market on Mac.
If he painted Captain America on there, we might we might have a deal. Are you? How are you doing, David?
I'm okay. I'm a little... Yummy, yummy, yummy. Got love in my tummy. I'm doing all right. I'm a little flustered. I had an incident before the show that sort of set back my timetable for getting stuff done. I had an incident with... Mac, you're aware of these... there's some sort of like cars out there sort of for rent. Some sort of like a la carte car. Like a car like to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what those cars to go are called.
Nor
But maybe.
But...
By the way, Bleo says, I can never remember his name correctly. And then a sad face. Cheer up, kid.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. I immediately love the fact that we're on Twitter now. Because people are actually contributing instead of sitting passively.
It was one of those things where when we realized... We weren't doing it,
mm-hmm,
and I felt real stupid.
Yeah.
Real stupid. It's not like this just came out.
Yeah, exactly. In fact...
It's not like you and I weren't already checking our individual Twitter accounts during the show.
Yeah, exactly. Completely mailing it in on all levels. In fact, if you happen to come up with a question for the found footage, guys...
Oh, yeah. This. That's perfect.
Yeah. Send us a tweet. We'll see if we can throw it their way. Yeah, so the car people that I was talking about... they have a rental service, and I was renting a car to get some errands done. And there's a little procedure that you have to do to like sign out of the car so you don't have to pay for it for the rest of your life. And it wouldn't let me sign out. So I was on the phone with them for about a half hour while they told me that I was not in the coverage area that I was clearly in. And so it was a bit of a headache. And so I had to like park it not in a convenient spot and walk home. And I hated that.
How did that even happen? Because it seems like those things, there's always a convenient spot to park them.
Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it? It sure does. They look like they're on the cutting edge of the future where they know where their cars are at all times instead of saying it's 10 miles up the road, which I wasn't. So I'm a little bit flustered. And then also it was hot today. And
I got to tell you, it's going to be a little hot outside.
This was really like the first...
hot day that I remember in a while. So my sweat glands sort of are waking up from winter hibernation. And I am not a pleasant person to be around right now. And I'm getting used to that.
I think I... This is stupid and not interesting. I left my sunglasses at your place.
Ah, which I have, yes.
Yeah, and so I've been driving around because I'm worried about people's safety, including my own. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have the sun blind me and then I, you know, turn my car into a local Stuckey's and killing everyone inside.
Of course.
I don't want that to happen.
Please don't.
So I like wearing some sun-shaded glasses. Sunglasses, as you might call them.
Yes.
But I've just been wearing, because I left my, you know, cheap glasses at your place. I'm wearing these like even cheaper, super embarrassing, like free South by Southwest glasses.
Oh, okay.
That don't fit on my giant face.
All right.
And they say like Mountain Dew all over them.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
And they have like really, they're like super cheese ball. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things where if I get out of the car and forget to take them off, I'll run back and put them in the car. It looks like I'm in costume.
You couldn't just grab some napkins and sort of black them out with a Sharpie and just use those instead?
Where was that great idea? Why are you just keeping these great ideas to yourself?
I've been here the whole time.
Okay.
I don't know. Speaking of, I have a $1 million idea.
Should we tell people then?
Well, as you know, every episode of this gets recorded and
sent.
Oh,
that's right. We immediately
address
it to ourselves.
Right.
And then we also send a copy to the U.S. Patent Office.
Correct.
That's right.
$1 million idea. Perhaps make line purses and backpacks with a sensor to let you know when you're hitting people with your purses or backpacks.
Why would I want to do that? Can't people just get hit with my backpack and like it? Why can't people watch out for my backpack?
Can I tell you something? Fair question. Here's my answer. Please don't do that. I got clocked in the face the other day by some lady's careless purse, and I did not like it one bit. But it was one of those things where like I couldn't call her out on it. It's not her. She didn't feel it. But at the same time, hey, watch your stuff, lady.
Are you talking about on the bus?
Oh yeah.
No, seriously, people don't seem to realize that they're, especially if you ride the bus past UT and the kids with the giant backpacks with the books and the learning from Laven. Yeah, I'm sick of myself already. Sick of myself when I talk. Yeah, people don't seem to realize that they are wearing things with hard things in them and just beat the crap out of people. My personal pet peeve, because I'm a bit of a tall guy.
Yeah.
Is
a real tallie.
I'm as I've been told. Excuse me. That Sierra Mist I had earlier went down weird.
Well, all right.
I'm a bit of a tall guy. I can't tell you how many times I've been clipped in the neck and head by people's umbrellas.
Yes.
Yeah. Just walking along. People can't seem to realize that their area, their volume they're taking up is now bigger.
Yeah, that's your curse.
Space, I guess, a word I could have used would have been better. Hey, could you talk for the next 2 minutes? I gotta tie my shoe. It's driving me crazy.
Sure, I will talk. The funny thing is, that's like your Faustian curse because, oh man, what I would not give to be just, I don't know, 2, 8, 10 inches taller. And you have that. You have that and more. And can I tell you something? I'm glad. I'm glad that you get throated every time it rains.
It's like some sort of secret agent is trying to take me out.
Yes. And you'll never have that romantic thing where you could both share an umbrella unless you're the one holding it.
I gotta hold it.
Yeah. And she sort of climbs on you like some sort of Reese's monkey.
She can... fit him, walk on my back like Yoda in that one movie.
Yes.
Clone Wars?
Soap Dish.
Clone Wars 2, Empire Strikes the Clones?
Still cloning. Why is that my... Okay, anyway.
Don't know.
My go-to for a fake sequel name is...
Yep.
Let's chew some more time, shall we?
Hey, tell you what, you want to take a quick break?
Let's take a quick one. You want to do a song break or you want to do a break?
Let's do a song break, okay. And then we'll try and wrangle up our guests.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with some more Mascot Wedding Show.
I can do it.
Yeah, okay.
Ah.
What are we gonna hear, David? David is busy with stuff. That was not a fair question.
Excellent question, Mac.
As soon as you get away from the microphone, I'm gonna ask you to come back. That's how that works.
Let's go with let's do this.
Oh, twist.
Yes, thank you. Apex Manor has a new album out.
Are you sure you're saying that right?
Apex Manor?
I'm just joking. Just being a jerk. Just jerking around over here.
Under the gun. More Mascot Wedding Show after this.
Hey!
right, we're back with more Mascot Winning Show. My name is David Hatta.
My name is Mac Blake.
And we just heard Apex Manor from their album, The Year of Magical Drinking. Probably one of my favorites. Actually, definitely one of my favorites so far this year. That was Bip Boop Boop, Under the Gun. Good stuff. From them, him? Sure. Why not?
Them, him.
Yeah. So the number is 472-5667. I guess we're going open phones right now.
Yeah. Because I wish that some people who said they were going to call would call.
Yeah. Yeah. We run a grown-up show here. So grown-ups only. No kids allowed.
We should just do this more often where we tell people, hey, I don't know who's a person this would be like, hey, John Madden's gonna call in.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, guess he didn't.
Which, yeah, exactly. Oh, it must be busy. Like someone who's obviously, hey, guess what? Next week, Garrison Keillor's gonna call into the show.
Oh, what?
Hopefully he can clear some time under the schedule. I don't know what he's doing on Saturdays, but yeah, that'd be really exciting.
Does Garrison Keillor have a cell phone? Doesn't that seem like he shouldn't?
Oh, he absolutely does. I bet that whole like Hill Country whatever thing is just a facade.
Oh, you mean, wait.
Prairie Home Companion.
There it is.
I legitimately forgot for a second. Okay. I was like, Hill Country Fair sounds right.
Hill Country Fair. Hey, you hate spending money on chips. Doritos cost too much. Well, Hill Country Fair's got a version that's much better. I can't do a Garrison Keillor impression. Was that obvious to everyone? I hope so.
Rebecca Ann had to run to the factory to can more discount corn.
He's got an awesome voice, though.
He does.
I can't knock that.
Venerable. The venerable. What's his name? Garrison Keillor. Man, I am all over the place today. But I bet that whole thing is just like an act. Because he runs like a little mini empire. I bet he's very savvy about all sorts of stuff. But if he like, if one of his fans saw him on like Twitter or saw him with like a BlackBerry or something, they would lose their minds. It would break their worldview.
So like he's got like a, how are we moving on our big cartel store?
Exactly. Somebody else take this app for me. I don't want to be responsible for it.
I think we should update the Google checkout instead of using PayPal. I think it's just a better service for our customers.
That would be great. Come on, you guys. That's my Garrison Keillor's a lot like Dauber from Coach.
Did we already talk to? I hope we haven't talked about this on air.
Friend of the show, Dauber.
I was up really late one night, and I don't think I was in Austin at the time.
Hey, here we go.
And I think I just finished. Yeah, I finished a basketball game, and I flipped over to some other network, and they're running Coach.
Okay.
And Dauber was, of course, on, and he like made out with Coach's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, which it was weird seeing that giant man be kissed.
Yeah, are you sure you weren't watching Beauty and the Beast?
I frequently do watch a lot of Disney cartoons.
Or that TV show.
By the way, so there's all these little... Speaking of Disney cartoons.
Sure.
If you use the internet... Oh, by the way. What? Oh, hold on. There was some commercial for the... something else I want to talk about. It was like the Baylor... Either Baylor University had some sort of like night MBA or something like this. And there, and then the radio commercial was just like, yeah, let's say, I don't know what it was for. So let's say it was the Baylor Radio School.
Okay.
Which it definitely wasn't.
Right.
But the Baylor Radio School has their stuff together so well, the radio commercial was like, type Baylor Radio School into Google. It's like, you don't have a website that is, like, that must mean their website's got like, it's a /edu/. It's like, your website's so messed up, you can't just give the name. Anyway, whatever.
Right, no, exactly, yeah.
Whatever.
They don't have a clean URL.
Yeah.
It's so all over the place that they have to tell people, hey, just type it in, you'll find it.
But the Disney cartoons, if you want to Google this, feel free. But there's a lot of instances of people, the animators, excuse me, sneaking things into Disney cartoons.
Right, yes.
Like famously, there's a scene in Roger Rabbit where you can see Jessica Rabbit's meep, meep.
Yes.
And also, I think in like Lion King.
You see the words.
There's like a dust because one of the characters falls over, I'm sure was hilarious. And the dust spells.
Sex.
Sex.
Yes.
Yeah. And then supposedly there's like all kinds of like stupid stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which at first I was like, who are you impressing, Disney animators? Like, I spelled sex. But I guess if you have to draw 100 pictures just to get 1 second of footage or whatever it is, then maybe, yeah, I guess you're allowed to be bored.
Yeah, if you're doing the most repetitive job, it's the most boring job. But yeah, if you're doing a very repetitive job like that and you need something to sort of get by and that thing is to animate a pretty lady's nether regions, then you go ahead, you do what you got to do.
But at the same time, it's not like Disney is the world's most like understanding company.
Right.
They control their image pretty fiercely.
Mm-hmm.
It seems pretty suicidal to, in terms of your career, to sneak something like that into a Disney feature film.
Yeah, but in the defense of the animators, it's not like it is something you sort of have to look for. It's not something that is completely blatant and overt. Like, let's say, for example, in The Little Mermaid, they have the preacher sporting what some might call an inappropriate appendage. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's something like you sort of have to hit frame by frame and just like pause. And that's the other weird thing is when word finally gets around to people, like when you've heard it through the grapevine that like, hey, guys, there's this thing in Little Mermaid where you could see, you know, the preachers, whatever. Like you have to go. I remember like being in college having to go rent The Little Mermaid as a grown man.
Wait, why did you have to go do this?
Well, because we had to see it.
Who's we?
This was pre-internet. This was people in my dorm. Yeah, you couldn't just go on YouTube. That was like 6 years away. And so...
I don't think you had to. Look, I don't think you had to.
I didn't have to.
I don't think you had to.
Oh, no, Matt, come back.
Slow the tape.
That's right. DJ Screw's producing the show.
And he'll be a guest next week.
Just speaking of our guests, I just spoke to them.
Yeah.
On the phone.
And?
Through the radio magic, and I believe this is them. KOOP, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Nick from the Found Footage Festival.
Hey, how's it going, Nick?
Hi, guys. Sorry I'm late.
No problem. This is Mac.
And this is David.
Hi, guys.
And you're calling us from Birmingham, right?
Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, just got here.
The saltiest ham in the South. Have you
That's
heard
what they say?
Have you heard someone say that?
No.
Okay.
Not until now.
I've also heard it called Magic City.
Mm-hmm.
Magic City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the pawn shops we were driving by seemed kind of magical. I don't know.
Throw that around out there and see how that plays for you.
Yeah.
See if you get some traction out of it.
All right. We'll say, hey, thanks everybody in the Magic City for coming out tonight.
Get them.
So joining us on the phone is Nick Prewer. You are a founder and curator of the Found Footage Festival.
Yes.
And it's going to be here in Austin, Texas this Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah, we're excited. We're doing two shows at the Alamo Ritz.
Yeah, which that's a swank joint.
I know, it's nice. We normally play like the South Lamar location, and we thought we were there. And then they said, no, you're downtown. So we're excited.
You'll get to enjoy all the downtown filth that are on 6th Street.
Right.
I know. The lack of convenient parking. Great.
It's a wonderland.
Yeah. There's no party like a Wednesday on 6th Street party, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I know.
Watching that sad mechanical bull.
Yeah, what's the place with the mechanical bull?
Oh, I just don't know. I stay away from that at every turn.
Okay.
So
yeah.
For folks who are not familiar with the Found Footage Festival, do you want to offer a little capsule of what it is?
Yeah, this is kind of the primer. My buddy Joe and I, we've known each other since sixth grade, and we've always been big thrift store aficionados, and passed most of our time at Goodwills and Salvation Armies. And in the early 90s, we started collecting VHS tapes that caught our eye. We found like training videos and exercise videos and sometimes home movies, things like that. And we'd watch them all and pick out the funniest parts and then cue them up and show our friends and make jokes and stuff like that. And then like 20 years later, 15 years later, we had enough material that we thought, let's just take it out of the living room and put it in a movie theater, the back of a bar, and see if anybody shows up. And we were sort of surprised that people actually did, and it somehow struck a chord with people. And so we started the show in 2004 and kind of been doing a new one every year since then.
Yeah, and these clips are kind of amazing. And I honestly, describing that, I'm sure someone at home or in their car or wherever is like, oh, I could do that. That's easy or whatever. But here's the thing. I watch these you've started doing stuff on the AV Club.
Yeah. The Onion AV Club.
I watched a couple of those this week in preparation. And it was like a minute and a half, but I was already like driven to madness by how like the one where it's a video about how to do a clown ministry.
Yeah.
And they're just terrorizing these old folks / delighting them.
Well, yeah. They have warnings like, never enter the nursing home in a large cluster of clowns.
Yes.
And they show a large cluster of clowns coming in very menacingly and this old man being frightened. And yeah, it's a real video about how to start up a clown ministry. And I know what you mean, though. We wouldn't wish it upon anybody, any amateurs, to have to sit through this stuff unedited, because it is, I mean, it's taken us years to build up the tolerance that we have for this kind of material, because most of what you watch is just plain bad. It's not even bad in a good way, you know, so you have to slog through a lot of that to find the diamonds in the rough. So we've done that for you. That's kind of the appeal of the show, maybe.
Well, I appreciate it, because that's the, it just, it makes me like super angry to like no one thought this was stupid. Like, no one's gonna stand out and be like, clowns are free, what does that mean, like, why? But yeah.
Yeah, but it's a good kind of angry. Like, it gets your blood boiling in a good way.
Yeah, no, I think it does. I think it does. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, because you seem to have worked up, like, you've sort of scabbed your mind, like, you're tough. You know, you're tough to this sort of thing.
Yeah, we've built up a high tolerance, and it doesn't injure us anymore. It just entertains us, so. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the pawn shops in Birmingham. Are you guys, like, while you're hitting the road, are you still, like, stopping at those places looking for VHS tapes?
Yeah. Yeah, we were just at this place here in Birmingham called, I can't remember what it was, but it was clearly a former Circuit City.
Nice.
And, you know, it just had that big red cube that, you know, but now it says, like, Lurleen's Thrift Store. And it's huge. So we were in there for the better part of an hour and found some good tapes. That's kind of how we sustain the show and find new material every year is by... wherever we are, we scour thrift stores and look up and see if there's any garage sales going on. And, we're always hunting for new material. And just when you think you've sort of seen it all, we'll find something that just blows our mind and kind of re-energizes you. Like past year, we just had seen so many videos that, you know, you see the same, Christy Lane exercise video at every thrift store you go to, and we had reached the end of our rope and thought, you know, have we found every video? You know, are there no more to find?
Mm-hmm.
And then in Chicago, we found this tape that was still shrink-wrapped called Rent a Friend, and it was from 1985, and it was, I think this was at a time where everybody had VCRs, so they're trying out new concepts, new ideas that people might buy. And this one was, if you were lonely, you could pop this tape in your VCR and the guy would be like your virtual friend for an hour.
Oh my God.
And which is just one of the saddest and it starts off kind of, I guess, normally, where he's asking you questions about yourself that you're supposed to answer to your TV screen. He's like, where are you from? You know, and there's the pause where you're supposed to answer.
Ugh.
And which is weird. But then he starts talking about himself. And but it's an hour tape, and by 20 minutes in, he's run out of things to say. So he starts opening up in ways he probably shouldn't have. You know, like he starts revealing far too much about his past and himself. And you sort of, like, over the course of an hour, you watch this guy unravel before your eyes. And it's this fascinating train wreck. It's like this one-of-a-kind tape that we'd never heard of before. And... and so, you know, something like that, you're just like, okay, this is why we do it. So we're showing that video on Wednesday.
But you know that guy when he was starting that up, like, he was like, this was the future. He's like, this is what it's going to be. Like your TV's talking to you, man. I'm doing it.
I envisioned a world where we didn't need friends.
Exactly. Man, the future, everyone's going to talk to machines. Here's the good news. 2 weeks ago, we tracked the guy down. He still lives in Chicago. And on April 15th, we're doing a show there, and he's agreed to come up and talk to us on stage and stuff. And we just have so many questions for him. We don't even know where to begin. but we're excited about that.
Well, that's great. And
I'm glad you dug up that local psycho.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, we always like to do our part.
You know, speaking of sort of the Where Are They Now portion of the Found Footage Festival, I recently got to see Winnebago Man, the documentary about Jack Rebney.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on the documentary itself and sort of where the Jack Rebney saga currently stands. Like, well, you know, how do you feel about how that all developed.
It was, I mean, it was a really cool experience because we had, you know, that was the Winnebago footage was some of the first footage we found that got us started kind of in the, I guess it was probably the late 90s. We were working on a, you know, like doing production assistant work on commercials in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing that kind of work, you just talk about your worst ever shoots you were on. And this crew member was telling us about this RV shoot he was on, you know, where the host had a horrible temper and kept losing his cool. And he's like, you know, I have the raw footage if you want to see it. And we're like, oh. Yeah. So he gave us like 2 weeks of the raw footage from the shoot, which we cut together into our favorite, you know, angry tirades. Mm-hmm. And I guess the crew had kind of cut their own part of their own version of it. And it became one of the big hits of our first show. You know, we'd always share it with friends, and then, you know, that was sort of our big closer, you know. And we tried to track down this guy. He was like the holy grail of guests that we wanted to meet from our videos. Mm-hmm. But couldn't find him. No record of him at all. So then when the filmmaker of Winnebago Man approached us and said, hey, I'm trying to make a movie about this guy, we were kind of like, well, good luck, you know, best of luck to you. We'll help however we can. But he took it the extra step and hired a private investigator, which, you know, had never even occurred to us. Mm-hmm. And found him kind of living like a hermit in Northern California with no awareness at all that this footage was online or in our show or anything. So we were just here vicariously through the filmmaker, like, he's pissed. He doesn't like that you're showing his video. And somehow we were able to convince him to appear with us at a show in San Francisco a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've never been more nervous because, you know, we call the guy Jack Rebney the world's angriest RV salesman. Like, right. That's what we had dubbed him. So, and then the fact that he wasn't happy with us either was not a great sign.
Yeah, so let's bring him out, I guess.
Yeah. But it was kind of, you know, I can't remember if this comes across in the movie or not, but he still had his arms folded and was very skeptical. And then we're playing the video, mm-hmm. and people are just convulsing with laughter. I mean, it's a really funny outtakes. And once he saw that, like, this little smile came over his face. You could see it was, you know, we compared it to, like, the Grinch where his heart grew three times its size, you know. He just was just all of a sudden warmed up, and I think he kind of got it in that moment. Turned out to be a fascinating guy, you know, and learned a lot about him in the documentary. And we just interacted with him that brief time on the show.
Right.
And since then, I've just gotten brief updates from the filmmaker, Ben, and heard that, you know, he's doing okay, or he doesn't want to go appear anymore at any of the movies, and, you know, so he's still curmudgeonly Jack Rebney.
Sure, sure, yeah, and then, you know, you sort of fast forward to where he's on he was on Leno a while back.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just crazy. I could not believe it.
Like, does something run through your mind where it's like, oh, we created a monster now, or is it, you know, is it sort of a good-for-you kind of feeling?
No, we're happy. These are like our children, you know. And for us, when we meet the people, it's like they're celebrities. You know, I remember meeting Jack, and when I've met other people, it's like, I'm never washing this hand. You know, it's like we've scrutinized every word, every movement, you know, and watched these videos hundreds of times. So we're always thrilled to meet people.
Yeah. So with him sort of off the wish list, is there a new white whale for you guys?
Well, the Rent-A-Friend guy was, you know, that was, I kind of talked about that one, but, you know, when you see it, you're just, there's parts where he's talking about, like, he's like, well, you know, and there was a time where I thought, oh, my God, I've killed my father. And,
what?
Yeah, and I'm trying to wake him up, and, you know, you're like, dude, what are you talking, I mean, like, I don't know, like, you're supposed to just be our friend. This is way too intense, you know, and there's things like that where I'm like, is this real? Like, what's, you know, what I just have so many questions about it. Mm-hmm. From the new show, I think he's the guy we really wanted to meet.
And I should mention right now, we are talking with Nick Prewer, co-curator. Do you have a title that you like?
Yeah, that curator's good, I think.
Okay, co-curator of the Found Footage Film Festival. They'll be in town Wednesday. They're doing a show at the Alamo Draft. Two shows. Good heavens.
7 and 10.
Yes.
And aren't you guys screening Heavy Metal Parking Lot before the festival as well?
Yeah, you know, we got to know, Well, we very much come from that old, like, sort of tape trading tradition before the internet. You know, you'd make dubs of videos that you liked, and so you'd always have like sixth generation washed out VHS dubs of videos that you'd share with people and watch. And so Heavy Metal Parking Lot was one of those tapes that we got in the mid '90s, where we got a horrible quality dub of it. And you know, it was just these two. They weren't filmmakers. They worked at a public access station, had access to a camera, and they heard that Judas Priest was coming to this big arena in Maryland in 1986. And they were at the right place at the right time, because they captured, I mean, it's this amazing time capsule of that time and place and the people who were at the Judas Priest concert.
Yes.
And it's so quotable, you know, so we were big fans of it, and for the it's the 25th anniversary of Heavy Metal Parking Lot, and we got to talking, and they're like, yeah, you should tour with it and have it be your opening act. And it's, you know, it's, even though it's not technically found, it sort of fits the same aesthetic. So we thought it'd be great. Yeah, and it's been really good. I think a lot of audiences have never seen it, and people who have never seen it on the big screen with, you know, 200 other people. So that's a whole different experience.
Oh, it is great. Yes, I love it.
Yeah. Before we wrap this up, Nick, I want to ask you, what do you think it is about, like, VHS that produces this kind of... do you think it's because, like, you know, this technology was suddenly in people's hands, and they're like, oh,
yeah,
go ahead.
I think that is a big part of it. I mean, we... gravitate towards VHS, I think mostly just because that's what we would find at thrift stores, and that's sort of the format we grew up with, and so we have a kind of a fondness for it. But I think what it was, it's like record albums in the 60s and 70s were so cheap to press that anybody could make their own album. You know, like you got like high school marching bands could make their own, you know, they press 50 albums,
yeah.
You know, and it was cheap to do. And so you got, because of that, you got all these weird esoteric things that ended up on vinyl, and also everybody had a turntable in their home, so it was a ubiquitous technology. And VHS was the same way, you know, in the 80s and 90s, it was so, everybody had a VCR, and it was so cheap, like any idiot with a camcorder could make a video. And, you know, thankfully a lot of them did, and, so it's not, it, maybe it's not as sexy of a format as vinyl, but to us, there's I don't know, the same way people who really love records like appreciate the skips and pops and and hisses and stuff. We like the sort of analog charm of VHS and the washed out colors, and you know, we feel like it never got its due.
The clip that's, I think it's on the AV Club, or I don't know if it's on the website where I saw it, but it's the, it's the guy showing you how to cut ham, and he says like country ham about 20 times, and I don't know, it made me feel weird inside. And then he talked about like boneless ham. He was like, what I call city ham. That I was, when you were like, who's your new white whale? I was like, please be the ham guy.
Yeah, well, that's a guy we'd love to meet. We should try to track that guy down. I don't know if. You eat that much ham, I don't know if you'd still be kicking.
Yeah, he called me on the phone, but, he's like, hello, I mean some ham right now. Yeah. Mouthful of ham.
Yeah, that was a video, just, it's kind of like an all-black cover with a guy on the front carving ham, and it just said, how to carve ham.
Sure.
So weird. How do you not pick that up?
I'd say the production values of that were pretty good for a how to carve ham video.
Yeah, it was. It was done pretty well. But, the, you know, the thing is, you're talking about sort of have, you know, the mind-numbingness of having to watch all these videos. That was one where we kind of watched the whole thing, and we were like, that was kind of funny, but we didn't really know what to do with it, you know? And we, one rule we have when we're watching them is to not fast forward, because you never know if you might miss something.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And it's awfully tempting in some videos. You're like, there's not going to be anything on it, but you keep watching.
He's cutting ham, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. So we watched that whole ham carving video, and we're just like, you know, I didn't really think it was that good, and, you know, we were kind of sort of nonplussed by it, and we're like, man, he really said ham a lot, you know? He just kept saying the word ham. And so we thought, what if we just cut all the times he said ham together and see if that was anything? And it turned out it made us laugh.
Yes.
So awesome. We'd love to meet that guy.
Well, Nick, thank you for talking to us. You're doing the Lord's work.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we are.
And the show again is, there's a 7 and 10. It is this Wednesday. at the Alamo Drafthouse. Ritz, originalalamo.com, I believe, has tickets and more information. And it's a website, Found Footage Festival, or is it Found Footage?
Found Footage Fest.
Fest.com for more information.
So, yeah, we'll be doing the shows and then doing the Mechanical Bowl right afterwards.
Oh, awesome. Of course. I look forward
Come
to
on
it.
Out.
I'll wear a plastic shirt so you don't vomit on me.
Yeah, please.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take it easy.
Bye.
Look at that.
How about that?
How about that?
Pro-style offense.
Yep. That was, I think it's the first call I've ever gotten from Alabama, too.
Yeah, that's right.
And if I keep calling Alabama, I got a feeling it'll be the last. But let us take a break, and we'll be back with some more Mascot Wedding Show. But first, off of their self-titled EP, I think the song is called Wreckin' Bar Rah Rah Rah.
Sure is.
The Vaccines. More Mascot Wedding Show after this.
All right, and we're back with more Mascot Wedding Show. Thank you once again to Nick Brewer for calling in from the Found Footage Festival. And speaking of calls, we got another call. Beep, 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 pop.
I have to say that Chill Wave's pretty much dead.
Hello? Hello? Yes?
Oh, hello?
Yeah, hi. You're on the air.
Is this a host?
Yes, this is the host.
Yeah, I was talking to Tim, the call screener.
Right, yeah, we're familiar with our call screener's antics. What can we do for you? You're on the air now.
Oh, so are you... This is the host?
This is the co-host of the Mascot Wedding Show.
Why aren't you following me on Twitter?
I beg your pardon?
I said, why aren't you following me on Twitter?
You want to know why I'm not following you on Twitter?
Yeah, I followed you.
Okay. Who is this?
This is Kevin Matthews, calling from Jamestown.
You're calling from Jamestown, like Jamestown in Virginia?
No. You're an idiot. Jamestown in Funken Valley? It's the cool neighborhood in Funken Valley. It's off South Barkus. Hello.
Off South Barkus. Is that where all those weird bookstores and restaurants are?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. There's that one restaurant where the waitstaff dresses up like the characters from Full House.
Yeah, that's the Tanner Club.
Yeah, that place.
What's so weird about that?
You don't think that's weird?
No. It's cool.
I mean, it's funny.
It's not supposed to be funny.
Okay, all right. Well, how about that that one bookstore that just sells coloring books from other countries?
Inside the Lines Books.
Yeah, that's the one. And the staff there, they...
Yeah, they all wear blackface.
Yes, yeah. I went in there once, looking for, like, a magazine. And as soon as I saw that, I felt really uncomfortable.
That's the point of it, you idiot.
All right. Why don't
God,
you...
God, get with it, Grandpa.
Why don't you just calm down? Look, what do you want?
Why didn't you follow me?
Right, on Twitter. I don't know. I don't really know you.
Look, if someone follows you and they have more followers than you, you have to follow them back. It's tweet law.
It's what?
Tweet law? God, pick up the pace, brah.
All right, don't call me brah. Look, why do you care if I follow you back? I mean, look, sometimes I get requests from people. I don't know them, so I can't tell if they're fans of the show or just like spammers, you know?
I'm not a spam bot, you idiot. God, go back to the mall, Dad.
What the? You know, I don't have to talk to you.
Look, just follow me back already, okay? It's making me look bad. If someone were to not follow me after I follow them.
Okay, let me stop right there. How many people are you following right now on Twitter?
Like a little under 500.
Wow, okay. And how many people are following you?
About 12,000.
Really? 12,000? That is a lot. Okay. Look, I don't mean to be rude, but why are that many people following you?
Look, I'm not trying to brag, but I'm a bit of a tastemaker around here. Yeah, you know that if you turn on TV once in a while, old man.
All right, well, I'm not that old. What are you a tastemaker about anyway?
You name it. Fashion, music, internet memes, hilarious gifs.
Oh, and because of that, you have like 20,000 followers.
Yeah. Well, I also follow a lot of people too, and they follow me back.
Okay, but you said you only follow like 500 people.
Yeah. Right. Well, after I follow someone, they follow me, then I just unfollow them. But, you know, they don't know.
Well, that's kind of pathetic.
You're pathetic. Just follow me back.
Fine. I will. Jesus, seriously, you're turning this show into like Twitter talk. And I'll just follow you and be done with it, okay?
Yeah, do it on air.
Well, you can't boss me around.
Do it.
All right. What's your address?
My Twitter account is ApeMatthews1984.
I'm sorry, ApeMatthews1984?
Yeah. It's like Dave Matthews, yeah. But it's cool, funny.
It's like a play on, well, it's a little...
And 1984 is like that Apple commercial.
Right, based on the book 1984.
The Apple commercial.
Which was, but look, I'm not going to walk you through this. Okay. All right, hold on. I'm just doing this thing right here. Take a look at this. All right. Okay, I'm looking at your account, and I think I can tell why I didn't follow you. This looks like spam.
What?
Yeah, yeah. All it is you checking into places and then, like, some retweets.
Yeah, and some links to my Tumblr.
Well, yeah, so just that stuff.
Yeah, so?
So who cares where you are?
You do.
No, I don't.
Look, if you don't know where I was, how did you know what was cool during South By?
During South By Southwest. Right?
Are you in an old folks home? Don't call it that.
I'm going to call it that because that's its name, stupid.
Ugh. Look, I was all over the place during South By, and if you weren't following me, which I guess you weren't, you didn't know all the cool places I was when I checked in there.
Who cares?
You do. Okay, so now you would know where you should go. You'd probably have to wait in line because you're an RSVP.
Can I tell you something? I really don't care how cool you think you are.
Oh my, I can't deal with this right now.
All right, well, don't.
Oh my gosh, you know what? I gotta go.
Okay, yeah, okay.
All right, you better follow me, or I'm gonna call. I might stop by next week, or I might call you.
Fine, I'll follow you.
I might start a Twitter war.
A Twitter war, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not going to like it, Grandpa.
Why am I not going to like it?
Oh, probably because you're too busy sitting at home watching TV in your Dockers.
All right, stop. You have. I'm 31.
You know, go watch like Everybody Loves Raymond reruns.
Of course, right? Of course, that's what I do.
All right, bye, loser.
All right, all right. Good heavens, this is what we deal with. Scum Central. But we are up against it. Thank you very much to Nick Prewer once again for calling in from the Found Footage Film Festival. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter @mascotwedding. What were you doing the whole time?
I was sending you some business.
I had to deal with that heapster all by myself.
Yeah, you did good.
Thank you very much. Tell you what, we're up against it. We got to clear some room for the clear spot. Look what I did there. We're going out with some Silkworm from their Firewater album. This is Severance Pay. Goodbye, Mac.
Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Austin. Clear spot coming up next.